You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back into NFL University. I'm Steven Serta of Arrowhead Pride. NFL University is brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code SBNNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That's code SBNNFL only at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Only 8 days away from the NFL draft, and we thought on today's NFL University we were going to get into some draft rumors, some speculation, and we've still got some of that stuff for you guys later in the show. But where we start today's episode, and let me welcome in Kyle Posey of Niners Nation, as well as Justice Mosqueda of Acme Packing Co. Deebo Samuel has reportedly requested a trade from the San Francisco 49ers. There's been a lot of rumors flying around over the last week or so, 10 days, that he was unhappy with the organization, that he wants to get paid in a way that maybe the 49ers aren't interested in paying him. He's also got a little bit of an injury history, but he's coming off an absolutely elite season where he's one of the best playmakers in the NFL. Thoughts on Deebo wanting out of San Francisco, teams that should be in the Deebo Samuel race if there is indeed a Deebo Samuel race?
The team agenda is going wild right now, and they are pushing it through national reporters, and these national reporters are eating it up. There's where there's smoke, there's fire, so it makes sense, but it comes down to money. I don't know why we have to pretend it's about anything other than that. We're hearing that, you know, it's about usage and he doesn't want to be a running back or doesn't want these carries. No, he wants to be compensated because he just had a historic season. Like, why wouldn't you be? And I think the biggest issue is Deebo wants his money now. And historically, you know, George Kittle, Fred Warner, and just in general, the 49ers wait to extend their players in July, just right before training camp starts. And that's was never going to happen. And I think Deebo doesn't want to wait. And that's where the stalemates come in. Plenty of suitors, you know, who doesn't want a Deebo Samuel? We talk about the draft. Everybody compares, you know, every receiver to Deebo Samuel. So I imagine a team wanting a wide receiver would be interested in Deebo Samuel. I think so. Ian Rappaport named, you know, the Jets, the Chiefs, the Packers, the Lions. I'd imagine teams like the Colts, you know, the Eagles, some underrated teams that we're not even thinking about would be in the runnings for Deebo. So does it get traded? Maybe. I think it's going to come down to whether or not a team gets desperate or whether or not a team offers the 49ers a package where they're like, yeah, we have to take that. There's no way we can't take that. Justice, would you pay Deebo top five-ish wide receiver money?
Well, so it comes down to the usage thing, right? And it sounds like you're not buying it at all. But if Deebo doesn't want to be used like that, I would say no. But if he wants to be used like that, I mean, it's just – The price is always going to go up, right? So, like, he's the top five wide receiver now because his contract is done. Who knows if after DK, Terry McLaurin, AJ Brown, you know, it's going to be the same situation, right? So, I think someone will, like, just point blank period. If you want a wide receiver of Deebo Samuel's caliber, you're going to have to pay him. So, it's really that kind of a decision. You really don't buy it. The usage thing, because I feel like that's a pretty huge deal, right, in terms of being able to project him moving forward. If he doesn't want to get these carries, and I understand, I guess, why he wouldn't, you know, four of his last seven seasons have involved injury. He ran super hard, you know, throughout the entire playoff run for the San Francisco 49ers. I understand from his perspective, too, why he would want to get a deal done sooner rather than later for him specifically. Like, what if he gets hurt this next year when he knows he's going to get, you know, 60 plus carries, like not including all the screens that he's going to catch and receptions over the middle where he's asked to get yak, right? Like, I get that. It's just, that's his game. So if he wants to turn into something else, like, I'm not paying Debo to become someone who is not Debo. I'm paying Debo to be Debo.
Well, you had four games receiving over 150 yards, and a lot of that is just slant, screen, and he just houses it, which is pretty nuts. But you talk about his usage. I think it's more about him. So a part of it does matter. Like, there's no doubt it matters. And the wear and tear that he's going to build up as he continues to get these carries. 2 years ago, 33-6 against the Patriots in a meaningless game. He gets a carry in the fourth quarter when they're up big. He gets hurt and has to miss the next couple of games. That's probably why he doesn't want to be this wide back that people are talking about. So that's where I think that it comes down to the usage, where in that sense, it does matter. But he has the stats to back it up. And I mean, you can pull like a bunch of clips of him just running a slant. Or the Lions game, the week one, he runs deep, mosses a guy, and then runs 60 yards. So it can go a few different ways, but ultimately I think money and that security that you talk about to protect himself in the future is why it's more about money than anything else.
Yeah, Debo deserves to get paid, in my opinion, and he's a player who's a former second-round pick, so he's not making quite as much money as these other guys who were drafted really high in the first round or something like that. And the way these wide receiver contracts have ballooned this offseason, I don't blame him for wanting to get paid. And I want to ask you guys, we know what a playmaker he is. We saw last season what he did, and that was by far, you know, hit his best season since coming into the NFL and his least injury-riddled season so far. Knowing the wide receiver class and all the evaluation and tape and stuff that you guys have watched, like, if you're the Jets and it costs the 10th overall pick, would you really rather trade that 10th pick and pay Debo Samuel a bunch of money over just taking a young wide receiver and hoping that guy pans out into being a superstar playmaker?
That's tricky, man, just because we talked about the injury history and he's missed 11 games. I think it's 38 out of 49 games that he's played. So history would suggest he's going to miss time, like, no matter what, no matter what his usage is. History would also suggest that, well, with the 10th overall pick, you're going to have that fifth year option, and that matters. You're going to have, you don't have to pay that rookie for another handful of years. You're going to have to pay Debo right away. So, like, the financials are a big part of this whole situation. If I'm the Jets, I'm keeping 10. And on the flip side, if I'm the 49ers and I get like a pick number 10 or a team calling for a top 15 pick for Debo, I'm signing that deal immediately. So it's tricky because Debo, you're not going to get, let's say it's Garrett Wilson, for example, who's a guy who's just run after the catch. I don't want to say they're the same player, but in the same usage would probably be the same. So with that in mind, would you rather have Garrett Wilson for the next 4 years on a rookie contract or Debo Samuel, knowing that he's going to get anywhere between 22 and 26 million? That, I think that's the better question. And I don't know, man. That's not an easy answer. And these are the things that NFL teams have to decide on. I want my money, and I want a healthy player. So it seems like you're talking down on Debo when you say that, and you're kind of minimizing what he did last year. I think in the 49ers case, it's a lose-lose situation. Like, they need Debo, and Debo probably needs them.
Draft picks are only going to become more valuable the more the cap rises, right? We're about to see a massive jump. I saw it reported. Pro Football Talk said that Sunday Ticket is going to go for like $2.5 billion per year on like Apple TV. The cost-controlled contracts cannot be understated in terms of their value. And when you trade for players, you do trade for contracts. It's not just the player. If you can get a Jameson Williams or even like a Chris Olave with that 10th pick, there's some value there, I think, if you think those guys are going to be, you know, any sort of type of playmakers, especially with the way that, you know, Debo's body and injury history and just the way he's used, right? I think I wouldn't offer the 10th if I were the Jets. I mean, think about the Raiders, right? I mean, the Raiders offered 22 in a second. The highest pick that the Chiefs got back for Tyreek Hill was, what, it was either 29 or 30. It was one of the two.
29. Yeah,
so why are you moving 10 for Debo? That doesn't really necessarily make sense to me.
Desperation, I imagine.
And yeah, it seems like the Jets are that team that's a little desperate, but they weren't offering that for Tyreek Hill either, and they were the runners-up to what they got from Miami, and Miami came in with the late first-round pick, and so that's why the Chiefs decided to go there, and Tyreek Hill wanted to go to Miami over the New York Jets, but I don't think that that makes sense for the Jets because they're still such a young team and they have so many holes that they have to fill. I think Debo would make sense for some of these veteran teams that are ready to win right now. I don't think the Chiefs are really going to be in on this the way that it's being reported, just because everything they've told us this offseason is we're ready to commit to the future and pushing money off and investing in young players because we want to keep this thing with Patrick Mahomes afloat for as long as possible. And the way that we believe we can do that is by not paying highly inflated contracts to veteran players. And it seems like that's what they're investing in this offseason. So I'd be shocked if the Chiefs did it. I think the Packers make more sense with, you know, 22 and 28 in the first round because you might only have a couple more years with Aaron Rodgers, and so go get it. You traded away Devontae Adams, but Debo Samuel's younger, and he's a really, really good player, so go get it and figure it out. I think it makes a lot more sense for Green Bay than it does for Kansas City.
I mean, Green Bay doesn't have an MBS or a Juju, right? I mean, that's the big – or Travis Kelce, for that matter. 22 is probably going to be right around the range where – that first tier of wide receivers is probably gone, right? And they were willing to pay Devontae Adams. You just didn't want to play for him. So it'll be interesting because they can use that type of guy. Like, it's not like they weren't already feeding Devontae Adams screens and stuff like that, right? So, like, if they want to use Debo as, like, a yak guy, you know, there's plenty of potential for him to be that with, you know, that those big body wide receivers, Alan Lazard, and, you know, now Sammy Watkins blocking for him, which is, you know, Stevens talked about it on this pod before. Sammy Watkins, the blocker, he's in Green Bay now. So yeah, that's what we got looking forward. So I do think it makes sense for like Debo and Green Bay. It'll just be interesting to see what the compensation is, because I can't imagine if you're Green Bay, you can't give equal or more draft capital for Debo than you got in return for Devontae Adams. You just can't. You can't do it.
So tricky part about that is if you're the 49ers, knowing that you have this mini rival, I don't want to call it a rival with the Packers, but why would you send Debo to the Packers knowing that's a potential playoff team, knowing that's a potential team that would stand in your way of becoming a Super Bowl champion? So they would have to be very careful on who they send Debo to. And they talk about doing their players right, but I mean, a weapon like that, you just can't send him to anybody. So I would have a hard time seeing him going to the Packers. Unless, again, they're in a situation where he makes it clear, I'm not going to sign a deal, and the Packers offer you the most, and nobody else is willing to, you know, come to the same terms. So if they're in a rock and a hard place and their hands are tied, then of course it was going to happen.
I feel like Aaron's got some power here where he could just be like, listen, I re-signed anyways. I knew you guys were going to trade Devontae. I knew it was going to blow up. This is what I want. Go make it happen. Go do it, because I'm not going to be here forever, and this is the guy that I want to win next season. But I do think, yeah, the 49ers might be like, no, we're just not trading him in conference. That's right. Not something that's going to happen. So we'll continue to pay attention to this. We'll see. I feel like I feel like we talked me into just him not going anywhere now. But we'll see what happens with Debo Samuel. A couple other things to get to. Baker Mayfield, we did have voluntary team workouts begin this week. Baker Mayfield, of course, did not show up for the Browns. He's not expected to be in attendance. Head coach Kevin Stefanski said it's a fluid situation in Cleveland. I don't really know what the Browns are doing. I understand that teams don't want to pay Baker Mayfield. I don't really get, maybe it's just hold him till the draft and hope that somebody comes in with like a mid-round pick for Baker Mayfield or something like that. But no one expected Baker Mayfield to show up at these voluntary team workouts.
Are they just hoping that a team gets desperate and comes calling? But even if that's true, who's going to do that for Baker Mayfield? Like, we've all seen him play. We're well aware of who he is. Who would he be an upgrade for? You would just have to essentially – assume that somebody gets hurt and there's like you have no other option, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he was on that podcast and was like, yeah, I guess Seattle is my my landing spot. And they were like, no, we're signing signing Geno fresh off of a DUI. Have fun. So there's not many teams left. The other thing, too, is it makes it tricky with that fifth year option, right? It's an immediate cap hit. And there's not going to be that many teams, you know, after the draft and once these contracts are signed that are going to have that much cap space moving forward. So the pool is really limited, even if, you know, there's a quarterback injury or something like that. I saw that report yesterday on NFL Network that said, you know, they might not be done with him. Like, maybe let's say Deshaun is suspended at the beginning of the year. Maybe Baker's just the guy who's going to be that bridge quarterback and have to play those games. And if not, and Baker holds out, they don't have to pay him that money, right? In terms of the game checks. So as long as he wants to hold out, like, what is it, the first 6 weeks of the six weeks of the year, so he doesn't get the accrued season, well, they end up saving, what is that, like a third of his contract that they already don't want to pay because it's guaranteed. And if they release him, they have to fully pay it anyway. Like, right. It kind of works out, just kind of holding him hostage. And if no one wants to come save Rapunzel, right, then he's just stuck up there.
Just imagine how awkward those practices would be.
Oh, I'll pay
for it. He would be miserable, right? Like, he absolutely would be the most obnoxious person at those
practices. So pouty.
Yeah. Yeah, like it. I would have to imagine for the Browns and just like the coaching staff and the people in the organization, like just to avoid how awkward those practices would be every week, they're just like, we got to get rid of him.
I'll pay for it.
Yeah, we got to figure it out. Cause I would love to see video of those practices because he would just be pouty like every single day. And I mentioned the Panthers as somebody who might be desperate enough to, you know, ship a pick for Baker Mayfield and see. I wanted to mention this. Panthers new offensive coordinator Ben McAdoo held a press conference earlier this week, and he was asked about Sam Darnold and, you know, being the Panthers starter, which they then kind of backtracked a little bit because they were like, we're not guaranteeing Sam's our starter. But if you ask Ben McAdoo, Sam Darnold, quote, has some magic left in his game. I don't know if Ben has watched what Sam did last season, but the Panthers are screaming desperation. We'll give you a fourth round pick for Baker Mayfield right now.
What are the Panthers? Honestly, to be fair, isn't McAdoo perfect for them based on their identity? Because they don't know what they're doing. McAdoo, for no reason, said that Darnold's going to be the starter. We all know that that's not going to be true. I feel like there's a better chance that Darnold isn't on the roster come the after the draft than Darnold being on the roster come training camp. So for him to name him the starter is just so Carolina. But congrats to you, McAdoo, for making it back in the news. Your job is accomplished.
Sam Darnold, he's making $18.9 million in base salary. Guess the next highest base salary in Carolina right now. Just the number.
Who would it be?
It's Cameron Irving. I'll tell you that.
Whoa. Spin zone.
How?
Right.
Well, so this is my point, right? So Cameron Irving, $4 million base salary is the next highest, which is less than a fourth of what Sam Darnold has. They are kicking all of this money forward. I don't know. This goes to the I don't know what the Carolina Panthers are right now point. They have $31 million in cap space and one pick in the top 100. Their cap space is like 50% higher than the next highest team in the league. They kicked everything forward to create this cap space and have nothing to show for it, really. So I could see a situation where maybe Sam Darnold, like maybe they draft Malik Willis or something like that, and they end up eating some money and trading Sam Darnold away for less than what Baker Mayfield might go for or something like that. And they'll eat half of the money and they have the cap space to do it. I mean, we'll see what it's like moving forward, but just because Ben McAdoo accidentally says Sam Darnold is the guy in a press conference doesn't mean that I'm just going to move forward thinking he's going to start 17 games.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand what the Panthers are doing. Maybe it's because they wanted Deshaun Watson and that didn't work out. And now they're like, well, we got money. Let's just draft a young quarterback and see if we can get Baker in here. It's just not a good situation. But I am looking forward to Ben McAdoo's press conferences in the upcoming NFL season. Before we take a break, I wanted to chat with you guys really quick about the teams that can improve or maybe the teams that have the most to gain or lose, like future-wise, in the upcoming NFL draft. We're just over a week away, and we've already talked about what a weird draft it is prospect-wise, and it's also a really weird NFL draft because there's so many teams with multiple first-round picks. The Jets have two top 10 picks, Giants have two top 7 picks, Eagles have two picks, 15 and 18, Saints have two picks, 16 and 19, Packers 22, 28, Chiefs 29 and 30, Lions have 2 and 32. Like, if, you know, and I know this is projecting and trying to predict, you know, human decisions in selecting future NFL players, but if you had to pick one of these teams with multiple first round picks, like which team has the most riding on this draft for their near future, at least?
Well, it seems like the Lions are probably, I think Dan Campbell has the longest leash. Would that make sense? So I don't think they still have Goff on the roster. So I feel like this isn't the most, you know, dire draft. So I would rule the Lions out. I actually don't think they're in the worst spot. And just as you, if you disagree, please tell me, but they seem like they're bringing in young talent and they're in a good spot with where their picks are this year to keep, you know, just adding good players. And eventually, you know, maybe they're just holding off for Aaron Rodgers to retire so they can take over the division. I don't know what their plan is, but I don't think the Lions are in the worst possible spot. So I would rule them out. Who do you think is right, Justin?
I mean, the Packers got to get a wide receiver one at some point in the next 8 days or whatever it is. So there's a lot riding on that. As far as teams that can improve just in general, I think the Giants are way up there. Two top 7 picks. I think they're one of the candidates to trade down for sure if the situation arises. I think we know that their backfield is going to be completely different next year in terms of both quarterback and running back. I don't think they're going to pay Saquon what Saquon ends up wanting to be paid. I think the Giants have a lot of potential to just kind of like build the foundation of what this team is going to be like moving forward. And who knows, like maybe they trade back multiple times. Maybe they pick 4 times in the first round, right? Like there's potential for something like that to happen. To have a franchise changing draft for them. So I wouldn't be surprised if we look back and we say, you know, the Giants had the best draft of 2022, you know, 4 years down the line, and that helped them in their rebuild. But they're kind of in the Lions situation last year where there's zero expectations this year. Like they're very openly saying, like, our quarterback is not our franchise quarterback, our running back can be had at the right price. And he was a former number 2 pick on a rookie deal.
I actually think the Giants are a really interesting team here, just with Brian Daboll, and you know, they've got a lot of expensive veteran contracts, but like that roster should be a little bit better than what we got last year. And we know Joe Judge was a total disaster. So I actually like the Giants quite a bit. I think the Jets still just have too many overall holes. They're still so young. Like they can improve themselves, but I don't think they're going to be a team that's going to all of a sudden, like, you know, start competing next season, especially when you look at the Bills and the Dolphins. And you know, the Chiefs and the Packers have glaring holes, but if they can address those, like you just think those teams are good enough that it'll work out in the long run. I'm curious about the Eagles, I guess, just with the multiple picks, and they've got some talent on the roster, but their secondary was really bad last year, and it still seems like they don't have a lot of confidence in Jalen Hurts. But if they're going to give him a chance and like build around him, like I think this is a really interesting draft for the Eagles.
So I was going to say the Eagles as a team who just has so far to go, and you know, I don't know where they would go with their 2 picks. So think about it. They took Devontae Smith last year in the first round. The year before, they took Jalen Reagor in the first round. And the year before, they took Arcega Whiteside. And people are still mocking them at receiver. So they've a lot of investment in receiver and still have nothing to show for it outside of Smith, you would argue. But what are they going to do? Who are they going to select to make you think, oh, now they're back? Because their defensive line, like Fletcher Cox, probably isn't – like he's not the Fletcher Cox we remember. He's still effective. But outside of that, they signed Hassan Reddick. Darius Slay's still good. I mean, you can name a couple of names like that, but there's a lot to be desired, I guess, when you look at their roster. So I don't have a lot of faith in the Eagles' direction. I don't know if there is an actual direction for Philly, and that's where I'd be like, man, I would expect more out of them.
The one thing I would say Philly could do would be like, what if they trade up from 18, right, and jump themselves at 15 and jump, say, the Houston Texans for like Kyle Hamilton, right? You get a safety, which is a massive need for them. They played probably the most vanilla defense in football last year just because of their safety play. They just didn't have the horses for it. So if you could get a guy like Kyle Hamilton, that changes what you can do on defense. And then at 15, if Chris Olave is there, take him. You know, I would think that even if you have to spend an extra, third round pick or whatever to ensure you get those two type of players, I think that would go a real long way for Philadelphia.
It'll be interesting. I'm ready for the NFL draft. We've been talking about it for months now. I'm just ready for draft day to be here and see how all this stuff unfolds across the NFL. But we're going to take a quick timeout right here. And when we get back, Justice has some draft takes, speculation, whatever you want to call it. We're going to get into plenty of those coming up next on NFL University.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Welcome back into NFL University. I'm Steven Serta of Arrowhead Pride, joined as always by Kyle Posey of Niners Nation, as well as Justice Mosqueda of Acme Packing Co. We are only 8 days away from the NFL draft, so Justice has spent months just compiling all of his NFL draft takes, and he wants an opportunity to get them off. So I'll toss it to you, Justice. Let's hear them.
Yeah, so we'll qualify this with like little birdies. Right.
Oh.
And you guys tell me if these pass the sniff test or not. This is a big one. I've heard this three different times and it makes me kind of worried that I've heard it three different times, because then it just kind of seems like someone's just trying to blow smoke. What do you think about the New Orleans Saints trading up potentially like 6-7 for Charles Cross, the left tackle from Mississippi State? So I think this is kind of an interesting spot in the draft. The edge offensive tackle run is probably the first run we're going to see in this draft class, just because of how valuable that position is and how quickly it drops off. Like after Charles Cross, you're talking about left tackle prospects. You're looking at like Trevor Penning, and then that might be it for the entire first round, right? Then after that, it's probably going to be cornerback, then probably wide receiver. What do you think about the Saints getting into the mix, jumping up in front of everyone, using that second first round pick and grabbing their franchise left tackle? They were still in the mix for Teron Armstead until the very end, until Deshaun Watson's decision was made. They weren't able to land either of them. Charles Cross, what do you guys got?
I mean, that would be very Saints to focus in on one player and then use your draft assets to move up for that one player. I mean, we know it's a need. We know that they've invested heavily in their offensive line. Look, Eric McCoy, second-round pick. Andres Pete, former first-round pick. Cesar Ruiz, first-round pick. Ryan Ramczyk, first-round pick. So, like, their entire offensive line is composed of high draft picks. Charles Cross, pass protector. You know, you want to protect Jameis Winston. I don't know, man. I don't know if I would use those draft assets. But at the same time, as you said, are you going to rely on a small school guy like Penning? Is that your future? Like after you get out of the first round, you have to go down a ways on the draft board, or you're just essentially reaching for players. So I understand why they would want Cross, but to package, you know, picks to move up, when you've done this over and over and it's failed, I don't know that I would go that route. It seems like they're just in a tough spot too.
So if they make this move, does this say the Saints still think that they're in win now mode, or does it say
that's like, where I'm like, what are you guys doing, man? Like, you don't have a franchise quarterback right
Jameis,
now,
Jameis, baby.
Or is it them saying, we know we already made this one pick, but it was to position ourselves so we knew we could move up and get this guy because we don't like this draft class. So we're just trying to get a cornerstone tackle and move on to next year's class. Because they can't think that they're still like an NFC contender right now. I just can't imagine that they truly believe that, but maybe they do.
I mean, maybe they look at Carolina and Atlanta and they're like, dude, we can make the wild card. Like maybe that's their thought process, but I mean, it's, you're one of a new head coach. Doesn't seem like their quarterback situation is figured out. I don't know. My next little birdie, right? Trayvon Walker. Here's the bulky stuff that makes the Trayvon Walker stuff make sense, I think. So the Jacksonville Jaguars selected Trevor Lawrence first overall last year. KP, was that the right selection?
Trevor?
Yes. Do you give Balky any credit for that?
Absolutely not.
Okay, right? So now, if he can draft a guy like Trayvon Walker in a class where everyone says Aiden Hutchinson is the guy, and if he gets that right, then that buys him some power with ownership where he could say, hey, look, you do need me, right? And hey, maybe you don't need to bring in Rick Spielman as an assistant general manager or whatever the heck they tried to hire him as this past offseason. Or when Byron Leftwich turns down the job because he doesn't want to work with you, you could say, well, you actually wanted me, right? Like, I'm the important keystone here. Here's the other thing. Who's Aiden Hutchinson's head coach?
Harbs. That's where I was going. Like, is he really that petty to be like, you know what? I don't want Aiden Hutchinson because of who recruited him and who he played with the last few years. I don't want anything to do with Harbaugh. Are you kidding me, man?
Do you think Trent Baalke forgets?
Absolutely not.
And mind you, for those who don't know, Trent Baalke was the general manager of the San Francisco 49ers when Jim Harbaugh was the head coach. Massive falling out. I think that plays into this, dude. I really do.
Yeah, everything that we know about Trent Baalke is that he's a super petty person. So I think that falls in line with the way he thinks. He's not looking at this like, what's the thing that makes my job the most secure? Now, what's the thing that I care about most with my own personal feelings?
It's got to be about him. It always has to be about him.
It's true.
It's the politics, baby. Office politics.
Hey, that's a statement.
Can we talk about Trayvon Walker going that high real quick?
Let's
is that not nuts? Like, think about that,
it is nuts. So when the draft season started, he was mocked around the Packers at 28. And I was like, hey, this guy actually, like, he's probably got more juice as a pass rusher than people realize because he's got bend. He's been playing out of position, all that stuff. To see him jump all the way up to the first overall conversation is kind of crazy to me. I mean, I'm still a lot more comfortable with a guy like Thibodeau or, you know, Karloftis than him necessarily.
I've been watching these edge rushes over the past week or so. Trayvon Walker does not have a plan when he rushes the passer. He's a great athlete.
It's all projection.
I understand his value, and I think at best he's a guy like, I'll just use the 49ers for example. They kicked in Arden Key to play inside on passing downs, and Arden Key just became a monster when he did that. Trayvon Walker would be 10 times what Arden Key gives you, but you are not drafting a pass rusher at number. Think about what we're talking about. We're talking about, okay, we're going to take him, and what we're going to do with him, we're going to leave him on the outside to play rundowns. And then on passing downs, we have to kick him inside. That way he can just win with his athleticism. Because think about it. I mean, I don't want to get too technical, but when you have like a pass rushing extraordinaire, he is going to eliminate half of the offensive linemen and just work that side, whether it's, you know, pass rushing moves and, you know, he has athleticism, but that works. But Trayvon, like, he doesn't use any of those. Like, he doesn't set guys up. Most, I would imagine, the better offensive tackles in the NFL, when they jump him, he's not going to have any idea what to do. So, it seems like he would have a long way to go as far as development goes, which means he's a perfect fit for Trent Baalke.
So, I assumed the Trayvon Walker number one overall stuff was just kind of, you know, pre-draft smoke screens, see if there's another team that's willing to move up and grab him if they're afraid he's really going to go that high or something like that. But after this conversation about Trent Baalke, I feel like I should place a bet on him to be the number one overall pick in the draft.
I will say the one thing that does worry me is everyone says the same line, right? KP, who's the comparison?
Trayvon?
Yeah. Who's the one everyone says?
Who is that?
Alden Smith.
Maybe I haven't seen it.
Oh, baby. They say it over and over again.
Is that because of Baalke too?
It's because of Baalke. Yeah. So that's the thing that worries me.
He's been leaking it for a while now. He's Alden Smith.
That's why I'm worried. Like, is he the guy like Houston really wants or something? And you want to make them like trade up to number one, and that's just the guy that you're using to dangle out there. But there are some things that tie Baalke into Trayvon Walker, which makes
sense. Do you remember Alden Smith in Missouri coming out?
I remember he was all Big 12 on a broken leg as a sophomore.
He was insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he was – his level of athleticism and just, like, he was a good pass rusher too. Like, it wasn't just all athlete. He was nuts, man. So, that is – the projection is out of control.
You shouldn't be allowed to compare guys to one-of-one athletes. Like, Alden Smith, Chandler Jones – God's not going to make a second one of those guys.
Oh, the all pros? Yeah.
Yeah. He's not going to make a second one. We should not do the comps there.
Man.
This isn't a birdies one, but like everyone I've talked to, I try to figure out like at least the top 10, right? Everything starts falling apart at the Seattle Seahawks because everyone's just like, we don't know what they're going to do. They'll probably just go like BPA. Here are the names of the Seattle Seahawks first round picks that they've actually spent since 2012. Bruce Irvin, Jermaine Ifedi, Rashad Penny, LJ Collier, Jordan Brooks. I feel like there's real potential for the Seattle Seahawks to just kind of throw a monkey wrench into the whole thing at number 9. Because they just cannot make a normal first round selection.
I feel like everybody's been projecting them to go offensive line or quarterback. But like Pete and the way he thinks, it feels like Seattle's one of those teams we've been chasing forever. Like, they always draft a position where you're like, wait, that's not what you need. What are we doing here? And so, like, number 9 overall, they're just going to ruin everybody's draft board by taking N'Kobe Dean at number 9 to replace Bobby Wagner.
It'd be something weird like that.
I'll read off the first-round picks. So, didn't have one in 2021. Jordan Brooks, linebacker, 2020. LJ Collier, TCU. I believe he was more of like a 5-tech. Like, he wasn't a true edge rusher.
He was like a 5-tech who was like a day
undersized too, right?
Until the Senior Bowl.
Yes.
I believe he was 24.
Lovely. So that was the previous first round pick, 2018. And this is when the running backs don't matter was really starting to show its face. Coming out of a lot of Seahawks Twitter, they took Rashad Penny, San Diego State running back. Great college running back. Has not caught on. And then before that, they didn't have – or they took – they didn't have a – a first round pick in 2017, and then it took a Jermaine Ifedi out of Texas A&M, who obviously didn't pan out. So, I don't know. Go Seahawks.
It's going to be something weird, man.
Okay, let's make some projections. What do we think here? Because there's no doubt it's going to be off the wall. There's no doubt it's going to be a position that we don't know.
I got one for you.
So go ahead. What do we got?
With the ninth pick of the 2022 NFL draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Christian Watson, wide receiver, North Dakota State.
DK Christian and Tyler Lockett, baby. Take that, Drew Lock. Man.
It's building around Drew Lock. Yeah, that's the plan. Is just give Drew Lock weapons. Give him big guys to throw to.
I think
Seahawks fans would freak out.
Very Seahawks pick would be to take like a position that they need, like cornerback, for example. But it'd be like Trip McDuffie, Kyler Gore, like somebody who you would think wouldn't go for another 15, 20 more picks. That feels very Seahawks-y to me.
Okay. What was the Jermaine Johnson over-under on DraftKings? You said it was 9.5?
Jermaine, 9.5.
You want to hit the under on that. He's not going to be there. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't make it out of the top 5 picks. He might be a trade-up candidate. Again, when I'm talking about these runs, right? So, like, edge rusher, offensive tackle, that's the first one. I think that's why the Saints have realized, like, hey, if we want a guy like Charles Cross, we want a left tackle, we have to move up. I think it's going to be the same at the edge position. Jermaine Johnson is probably the last guy available for, like, these top-tier edge rushers, unless you think Karlaftis is that type of guy. I personally do. The NFL, for whatever reason, as a consensus, doesn't seem to think that. I could see a team like the Jets, you know, if they're not trading 10 for Debo, moving up for Jermaine Johnson, you know, if they go offensive line in the with their first selection. So don't like him that much. Like, I think he's a second round pick, but he's going to be super expensive for someone in the draft.
Salah definitely likes the guys who just like hustle, like play hard. And that is Johnson. But if that's the first thing that you can talk about with somebody when you're taking him in the top 10, and not just that, when you're trading up for him, you might have some problems. What is his best trade? What do you think? What are people saying that Jermaine Johnson is?
Run defender. It's always run defender. But okay. He's a run defender. He's not a big defensive end, and he's a run defender. Like, I don't get it. I sincerely do not get him as a top 10 pick, but like, he's not, he might not make it out of the top 5.
I hope he does well.
That's crazy that he just wouldn't even be available at 10. Like, that a team with two top 10 picks, and they're like, well, we might have to take him at 4. Otherwise, we're going to have to trade back up to 5 or 6.
I'm telling you, I really do think it's going to be like edge, 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 tackle, edge, edge, tackle, tackle, corner, corner, wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. Like, there's going to be runs in this draft, and you're going to know like when the runs start, when the runs end. Pretty clearly. Talking about another position, quarterback, I think it's a pretty good bet two quarterbacks go in the first round right now. Malik Willis out of Liberty and Desmond Ridder out of Cincinnati. I think Willis's floor is Washington. I would look at Carolina as a team that could potentially trade back and still get him. Again, they don't have any top 100 picks other than number 6. That's important to note. I could see them trading back and still taking Willis. I think if he's available there for Washington, they take him. I don't think Washington would trade up for him after what they spent for Carson Wentz. I think Desmond Ridder. He cost capital, man, and he cost money.
I know.
I saw the Washington Commanders Twitter account posted his jersey, and it said, you know, 11 days until the draft, and they use his number 11 jersey.
That probably didn't go over well.
Desmond Ridder, a couple teams to kind of circle on him, Pittsburgh and Atlanta. It seems like two teams that really like him. Atlanta would have to trade into the back end of the first round, depending on who's available. I think Pittsburgh would be willing to take him at 20. The one guy I don't know about at all, because I think people have kind of given up on the Matt Corral and Sam Howell first round pick type of narrative. The one guy who, like, people still have in the first round that I can't figure out which teams, like, actually like him is Kenny Pickett. I don't know if it's Carolina. I don't think it makes sense for Carolina to spend the 6th overall pick on Kenny Pickett when they don't have any other top 100 picks. But if it's not Carolina, it's hard to point which team would actually spend top draft capital on the guy. I think he could be like the surprise faller of the draft, honestly.
Who, like, what's a team that fits what Pickett likes? Would it be a team like the Steelers? But it wouldn't be in the first round, right? It'd be later on. So knowing that.
And again, I think they like other quarterbacks. Like, I think Willis is going to be gone, but I think they like Willis more. I know they like Desmond Ridder more. So, like,
his draft stock or his draft position right now, his odds of DraftKings is 9.5.
No. Take the over on that. Put money on that. Man. Put my money on that.
Done. He just throughout this whole process, Kenny Pickett has always screamed to me like guy that is projecting in the first round, but winds up being like a third round pick. Like, because you have so many question marks about whether or not he's going to translate to the NFL.
A media creation, essentially, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I never actually thought that he might go in the first round unless it was the Panthers just getting nuts and picking him number 6.
And that's always the same. It's always the one team, right? And that's what really worries me, where it's like, why is it even – you said it's 9.5? The Seahawks aren't going to draft him in the first round. Why is it at 9.5, right? So, like, it's stuff like that that just doesn't make sense to me at all.
I do really like Desmond Ridder to the Steelers at 20. I think that would
be it would be so good. Yeah, it would be so good.
Really good landing spot for him.
So good.
Would he beat out Mitch?
Yes. I don't know if he would beat him out in camp.
Like from the jump. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, he'd beat him out at some point this year. I mean, Mitch isn't going to play well enough, I don't think, to hold down that job for 17 games.
Poor Mitch.
Just a couple guys who seem to be falling down draft boards right now. And this is my last little birdies note. Treylon Burks, the wide receiver out of Arkansas. It seems like when he's in interviews and people start asking, you know, hey, why were you used as a slot receiver? Why did you have all these manufactured touches? Stuff like that. Like, let's ask the guy about his offense. Seems like he doesn't have very good answers out of that. And people are starting to realize like, oh, that's why you were used in that way. Maybe I don't want to spend a top 20 pick on a guy like you. And that's why when I talk about that wide receiver run, right, it's really, you know, Garrett Wilson, Jameson Williams, Chris Olave at the top. And then who knows who's going to take Burks. I mean, it might be a team like the Carolina Panthers if, you know, Karloftis is there or something like that. They brought in Karloftis on a visit stuff. Devontae Wyatt, serious off-field stuff. I didn't realize that at all until he was brought in for a visit with the Green Bay Packers. I started poking around there. He might be a guy who drops out of the first round. We'll see what happens there. But just go Google it. There's police reports and stuff like that. Check it out. It's not talked about a lot. I don't think there's any shame in saying like, oh, I just simply did not know that about the guy. I mean, I watched this Georgia defense all year, and I didn't know that about Devontae Wyatt. And then Andrew Booth, sounds like he had multiple surgeries to basically what amounts to a sports hernia injury. He seems to be dropping down draft boards. I know a lot of people had him as like corner 3 in this draft probably a couple weeks ago. I don't think he's going to get drafted in the first round. Doesn't seem like he can clear some of these medicals. So those are the little birdies. That's what the little birdies are telling me. Take it or leave it. Some of them might be wrong. Some might be right. Silly season, baby.
So
people will let you know when you're wrong.
You're telling me NFL teams aren't sold on Treylon Burks just off the fact that he hunts wild boar with his bare hands and a knife?
Look, I'm here for it. I'm rooting for the guy. But, it doesn't seem like the interviews are doing him very well.
That's a bummer. I mean, I feel like you should get something. Like, you should get some kind of win in the NFL draft if you just hunt 200-pound boars with nothing but a knife and just like in like a pants and no shirt is the way that I imagine he does that.
So good. Psycho, just like Tarzan.
Yeah. So those were just his little birdies as we get ever closer to the NFL draft. We really appreciate you guys listening to this episode of NFL University. Please make sure you subscribe, rate, and review everything that we have on Apple and Spotify. You can follow KP at KP_show on Twitter. You can follow Justice at JUMOSQ. I'm Steven Serta. That's where you can find me. We will talk to you guys next week.
Support for this show comes from Vanta. Dealing with loads of spreadsheets, juggling different tools, and having to do manual security checks, it can be a headache to keep up with today's compliance and security programs. Vanta is the trust management platform that wants to simplify things and bring all your trust-building efforts under one roof, making growth smoother for your whole organization. Vanta lets you automate up to 90% of compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, HIPAA, and more. Strengthen security posture and reduce third-party risk. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/vox. That's vanta.com/vox for $1,000 off Vanta.
Claude 3 from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point of the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skill and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who use Anthropic to navigate this new frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude, C-L-A-U-D-E, today. Jumpstart your genius with Claude 3 by Anthropic.